Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you're with us. Going to be joined by Aaron in a few minutes, but first we're going to go to Annie Cyrus and Shahram Hadian. I had to think for a minute. There's so much in the news. We could be 3 hours, and I don't think we would get it all. There's so much that's in the news. It's quite concerning. One of them we'll get to in a minute is why were 800 Army guys just ordered to show up in Kentucky for training on being recruiters? They were given 6 days to show up in Kentucky by the Army to be trained to become recruiters. I don't even want to use the D word, draft. But I don't know. It's not looking good. But we'll get to that later. The most disturbing news today to me is the fact that last night we were on the air live. I was interviewing Shahram Hadian about a man in the UK. I showed the video of this man in the UK being arrested for posting on Facebook a very benign, aside from some of the cursing he did in the post, it was a very benign post. He didn't threaten anyone. He was showing all of the pro-Hamas flags in his neighborhood there in Great Britain. He was showing them all up and down the street, these Palestinian/pro-Hamas flags, and he was complaining about it. That's all. He voiced his concern that all of these immigrants had come in. They didn't want to assimilate, and they were now going to be waving pro-Palestinian Hamas flags in his neighborhood. And he put it up on Facebook. And again, aside from the cursing, a little bit of cursing in there that he did, he wasn't threatening anyone. He got arrested, and his family filmed his arrest. The man supposedly has kidney failure. I think he's got stage 4 cancer. He's being arrested for hate speech. I was interviewing Shahram Hadian about that last night, and the fact that Shahram and I have been talking about this issue for so many years, particularly in my documentary Sabotage from the Platform at the Ozarks Conference in 2018, we were talking about CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations, and those groups, and hate speech and hate speech legislation, and we were saying this kind of thing is coming to America. And while we're on the air, our associate producer Annie Cyrus sent over a video that wasn't even 3 hours old yet, of Vice President Kamala Harris declaring that the Biden administration is now going to push for an Islamophobia Act. What are the odds? In a week where so many people who are Jewish are feeling threatened, I was on the phone till wee hours of the morning with one of my Jewish friends in Los Angeles. They're worried about the Muslims. They're worried about the Muslims being harassed. Really, I don't see that. And there are laws on the books already to deal with this. There are laws on that. We don't need extra laws to deal with this kind of thing. There are already laws in the books to deal with anything. We have more than enough laws in this country. But this regime has marginalized and threatened Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, America First supporters, constitutionalists, Christians, pro-lifers. Catholics attend the Latin Mass. All of us have been deemed potential domestic terrorists or domestic terrorists or mentally unstable. We don't, the anti-vaxxers, those who don't want to wear a mask are mentally unstable, they're narcissistic. This labeling has gone on and on and on. And all of a sudden now, this administration is concerned about someone hurting the feelings of a Muslim by speaking truth about Islam. This is exactly what we've been warning about. And that man being arrested in the UK, that's coming to America if they get their way. Joining me quickly is Annie Cyrus and Sharam Hadian. Guys, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon, for having me on.
Let me go right away to you, Annie, because you're on limited time today. Correct, Annie? I don't even hear Annie. Guys, do we not have Annie? All right, we're not hearing her. All right, let's go to Sharam then. Sharam, what do you make of this?
Well, Brandon, as you and I talked about last night, it's deeply concerning. And then today I went back and I read the language of what was being reported about this Islamophobia Act. And here's what caught my attention. And this is proving what you and I have been concerned about, is that the White House is dealing with this from an issue of national security. So just let that sink in for a second. So this is not something that, hey, we have a resolution, we have an initiative where we want to, you know, deal with media or some sort of a campaign. No, we are dealing with this, according to them, from their Domestic Policy Council and the National Security Council, meaning this now, combating Islamophobia, and anybody that is deemed an Islamophobe, which you and I have been deemed that by I sent you the map of the Southern Poverty Law Center of all these organizations that list you and I as hate groups and Islamophobes. This is now, they are saying, a matter of national security, just as Homeland Security was dealing with anybody that is deemed a domestic violent extremist, a DMV, violent extremist. This is now going to be a matter of national security. Well, that means, the more I thought about this last night and today, that under the Patriot Act, if they deem you and I as a national security threat, that now opens the door for all sorts of things they can do to us. For example, they can put me on the no-fly list immediately by saying, you're a national security threat, you can't fly. They can then detain you. And under the guise of national security, you have no due process. You have no Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. I mean, I can go on, but I'll turn it back to you. But this is now my lingering reaction from last night, that we are at a different hour. And as a pastor, Brandon, who came from Iran, who has witnessed what the fake media and Iran does to their citizens and the boot of tyranny, this is now where our government is at in America. And it means that we are now deemed as national security risks. Wow.
Annie, do we got you now, Annie?
Can you hear me?
Yes, got you. What are your thoughts on this, Annie?
Well, I agree with everything Sharam says. And I will add this. My question since last night in my own head is, so who is going to decide what is Islamophobia? Is Islamophobia me citing Quran, saying Quran itself says, oh, you who have believed, do not take Jews and Christians as your allies? Is that going to be considered Islamophobia? My biggest concern is how far these quote-unquote boundaries are going to go. Are we going to be completely silenced like Islamic Republic of Iran? We can't say anything, even if it's a factual fact about Muhammad, written down somewhere, or verses of Quran, or people being hung publicly in Iran for being gay or being Christian or being Baha'i. Is that all going to be what we can't say?
Very good questions. You saw the video last night. Both of you did. Annie was the one that sent it to us while we were live on the air, which was kind of ironic. We're live on the air and Annie sends us. We're on the air talking about a guy being arrested, cuffed and arrested, and still being held, the last we checked, for simply posting a video showing his displeasure of pro-Palestinian slash Hamas flags in his neighborhood in the UK. He gets arrested. We're here saying this is coming to America. While we're talking about it, Annie sends over a video that isn't even 3 hours old of the vice president declaring that indeed they're going to go for the Islamophobia Act. In fact, let's go ahead and play the video of her and her own words, folks. Listen to this. Listen to this. Here we go.
Our nation was founded on the fundamental principle that all people should have the freedom to live, to worship, and to be without fear of violence or persecution.
Unless you're a Christian or America First or a constitutionalist or anti-vaxxer or, name it. Okay, just remember. What, Annie?
Or being a straight. You cannot be a straight anymore. You have to belong to LGBTQZ alphabet
groups. Right. But if you go to the Latin Mass, if you're pro-life. So, guys, remember when she's talking, you got to include all these people. Everyone else has the right to be safe, except for these people. Oh, and Jews. If you're also Jewish, you don't get to have these freedoms either.
Every person has the right to live safe from violence, hate, and bigotry.
Again, unless you're MAGA, Christian, pro-life, Catholic, there goes Latin Mass, Jew in America, Christian Zionist. Okay, do I need to do this every time? Because believe me, in their mind, that's exactly what they're saying. You just have to read between the lines.
And for those reasons and so many more, President Joe Biden and I have a duty, not only to keep the people of our nation safe,
but safe from the Zionist Christians, the MAGA, the Constitution. Oh, and by the way, she's married to a Jew, I think. Yeah, I think that's what you call a self-hating Jew like Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. So that doesn't count. Sorry. Don't get to hide behind that, Kamala.
To condemn.
By the way, remember, it was Jewish police officers loading their own people onto the train. So
unequivocally and forcefully all forms of hate.
Except, again, if it's hate toward all the groups that we declare domestic terrorists and enemies of the state, Christians, Catholics that go to Latin Mass. Again, I'm not going to do this every time. You get the idea. Yeah, go ahead.
And absolutely, it's okay to fully hate on President Trump, by the way.
Yes.
There's no protection for Trump.
None. You're right. Here we go.
President Biden and I have fought to uphold that duty. Over the past decade, America has seen a rise in attacks on houses of worship. So in response, we expanded funding to protect houses of worship from violence. After a surge in hate during the pandemic, in particular anti-Asian hate, President Biden signed the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act to improve the reporting of hate crimes and to ensure hate crimes are investigated quickly and thoroughly. Earlier this year, in response to an historic rise in anti-Semitic attacks, we also released the first national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. And to make clear, taking on hate is a national priority. President Biden and I held the first White House summit to address hate-fueled violence, and we brought together religious leaders, community leaders, and survivors to continue our work to keep all Americans safe. And today, we take another important step forward in our fight against hate. For years, Muslims in America and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks.
That's a lie. That's an absolute lie.
As a result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, we have seen an uptick in anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic incidents.
Okay, now why are you merging all of those together? Because the anti-Semitic she throws in there after she just set up that there's been this spike in hate speech, so-called, toward Muslims. So again, she's lying, she's confusing apples and oranges. I mean, this is a word salad, but this woman is known for word salads. You want to comment? I mean, how much longer can you stay, Annie?
I can stay with you for the remaining time.
All right. So hold right there, everybody. We'll continue this word salad by the vice president. And she's about to announce their Islamophobia, Anti-Islamophobia Act. And we'll get to more, as well as a live report from Aaron on the ground in Israel today. There are growing concerns that Israel could be facing another massive attack in the coming days. And then, of course, 800 Army guys are told, you got 6 days to get over to Kentucky to be trained as recruiters. Uh-oh. We'll be right back. Hello, listening friends. I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate Worldview Report, my 30-minute nightly newscast every night? Did you know that takes a team of about 7 of us 15 man-hours a day to put together just that 30-minute broadcast? How about Brandon House Live? It's live every night for 90 minutes. Then, of course, we have Worldview Radio that's on from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time, live each day. Then I've added a Sunday morning news magazine show called Worldview Report Sunday. It's an hour every Sunday morning, Worldview Report Sunday. Then, of course, on Sunday night, I have a Bible study online, a little church service online every Sunday night since 2015. That's called Worldview Weekend Hour. And then I have the Worldview Financial Report, a 30-minute financial newscast. If you appreciate all the programs that we're putting out and producing here absolutely free of charge, we need your sponsorship. We need your support. Would you please go to wvwfoundation.com and become a supporter? wvwfoundation.com. Please help us continue to push out free programming to people all around the world. Many people put their programming behind a paywall. We don't. We push it all out for free. And yet, it's not free to us. We spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills and having to pay people to produce the shows, put them up online, maintain the websites, the servers. It's very expensive to do television, folks, and very expensive to give it away. So we need your sponsorship. Please consider going right now to wvwfoundation.com and making a contribution. We have the end-of-the-year goal from October 1st to December 31st of raising $275,000 to meet our end-of-the-year goals for 2024. So starting October 1st to the 31st of December, that's what we need to do. Would you please consider praying now about becoming a regular contributor or making a one-time or occasional contribution? You'll also find our mailing address there on our website if you prefer to support us through the mail. That's wvwfoundation.com. You can also give by phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. We are looking for more regular monthly contributors so that we know we have the resources we need each month to meet our ever-growing budgets as we expand and add shows and add new programs by new hosts. In fact, if you visit our website, wvwtv.com, which is also the URL, worldviewtube.com, worldviewtube.com, you'll find all kinds of shows we carry for you to watch by Dr. Andy Woods, Alex Newman, and the list goes, Dr. Rob Lindstedt, Trevor Loudon. I mean, those are just something I can think of off the top of my head. You'll find all of them free of charge at worldviewtube.com, but we need your help to continue pushing out free programming and content like this. Thank you for your support at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Let's continue the speech by VP Kamala Harris last night. Listen.
Across America, including the brutal attack of a Palestinian-American woman who was Muslim and the killing of her six-year-old son. A senseless act of violence that the Department of Justice is investigating as a hate crime. For so many people in our nation, the past few days and weeks have brought about all too familiar fears. Fears that they will be targeted, profiled, or attacked.
Oh, you mean profiled like your regime does? Like your red-green axis, Marxist, Islamic, Jew-hating, Christian-hating regime does? Profiled like that?
Simply because of who they are,
oh,
how they worship,
oh,
or how they look.
Uh-huh. Like you mean white American males that are actually masculine, straight males because they're not feminized? Males, because remember, that's a psychological disorder now, toxic masculinity.
And so today, I am proud to announce the Biden-Harris administration will develop our nation's first national strategy to counter Islamophobia. This strategy will be a comprehensive and detailed plan to protect Muslims and those perceived to be Muslim from hate, bigotry, and violence.
Okay, but who's going to protect us from their hate, bigotry, and violence? And have you bothered to investigate, Kamala, the nearly 90% of our mosques that are run by Hamas? Are they storing weapons? I mean, because over in France a few years ago, their reports there, they went in after some terrorist attacks, looked in those mosques and found military-grade weaponry. Lots of it. Lots of military-grade weaponry. Have you guys gone and investigated what's going on in these mosques, and are you prepared to stop Americans from the hate, bigotry, and violence of the pro-Palestinian slash Hamas terrorist groups?
And to address the concern that some government policies may discriminate against Muslims. For example, the so-called Muslim ban, which President Biden revoked on our first day in office.
Yeah, you definitely revoked the Muslim ban. You dropped the border, and you're letting every Muslim Islamist into the country. That's absolutely right. You have definitely dropped the Muslim ban, and you have invited your jihadi friends, the green of your red-green axis, right into the country. You're flying them in to the tune of over 220,000 by airplane, by last count by Todd Bensman. You've got 7 million you've let in, and now we have U.S. senators who just went down there who on October 31st announced at a press conference that some of them, these terrorists that are coming over the border, they have explosives the size of cannonballs they've been found with. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys have definitely dropped the ban. You know what? We need to discriminate. You know what this country needs? More discrimination, not less. Yeah, you can quote me on that, liberal media. This country needs more discrimination, not less. You know what? It used to be considered a compliment to say that someone had discriminating taste, discriminating standards. They would discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. What is good and what is bad, what is evil and what is just. We need to discriminate, absolutely. We are not pro-LGBT. We're not for equal rights for people that want to do sex change on children. We're not wanting equal rights, if you will. By their definition, equal rights mean we don't have any rights. See, that's the thing you guys have to understand. It's not about a lady justice being blind. She's got the scarf off her face. Her eyes are clearly now seeing, and she's judging based on your religion. You're a Christian. Oh, you're an Orthodox Jew. And they're giving special rights to people while they deprive Christians and those with deep Judeo-Christian values no freedom to practice their religious freedom of speech or freedom of religion. Not to mention, as journalists, we can't now, apparently, as if this comes into law, as Annie said, even talk about what Islam's really about. But there was a time in our country when having a discriminating standard was not because you were judging someone based on their race. No one's for that kind of discrimination. There's only one race, the human race. But we discriminated in the sense that we did not elevate or give equal public square attention to those things which were contrary to the character nature of God, the Ten Commandments, and the good order of our society. We didn't parade transvestites down the street. We didn't do drag queen story hour reading in front of children. We didn't have books that taught them how to sodomize each other in elementary school as we have today. We had discriminating standards. We would discriminate against perversion, if that's what you want to call it. But no, today tolerance means we accept anything except for what violates the new tolerance, and the new tolerance does not include tolerance for the right. And that's what Herbert Marcuse said in his repressive tolerance speech in 1965. He clearly spelled it out, and now they're doing it.
So here's the bottom line. In America, no one should be made to fight hate alone. And in this moment, then, let us all clearly say, a harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us.
You will not be having to fight hate alone. We, the Red-Green Axis, are going to unite. We're going to politically and civilly and criminally prosecute the haters, i.e., those who embrace a Judeo-Christian worldview. Comrades, you will not have to fight the hatred alone. The Biden regime is here. We have the military. We have the Department of Homeland Security. We can unite and fight against the haters, the domestic terrorists, those that support the policies of Donald Trump, MAGA, America First, borders, who don't want their kids sexualized or molested. We are joining to fight the haters, and we've already laid the narrative. They're haters, they're domestic terrorists, they're intolerant, and by the way, we've spent billions building camps that may be for them. I mean, that's what I'm starting to believe. Sharam?
You're absolutely correct in the concerns for what they're building, what they're preparing. Let's deal with a couple of things you said right off the top of the show. Number one, she's lying about the statistics, and I've sent that to you. I think it was like a week ago or so, I sent to you the statistics from the FBI. In 2022, the FBI reported in their religiously motivated hate crimes that there was 2,044 religiously motivated hate crimes in 2022. Of those, 1,124, almost 55%, were against Jews. Less than 10% were against Muslims. I want to be very clear. Any attack, any physical attack on anybody because of their religion should be wrong.
Right.
If it's unwarranted.
Right.
And you already said it. There's already laws on the book. So if somebody attacks somebody, beats somebody up, punches somebody, stabs somebody, kills somebody, there's already assault laws on the book.
Even if they make terroristic threats against somebody.
Exactly. Like against you and I, right?
In
2017 in Sioux Falls. When a heavily armed Muslim guy came into our, you know, your conference where I was speaking with five weapons, over 1,500 rounds of ammunition, threatened our conference over and over again, went into his car, kept making videos threatening us. That was a actual threat. That was a tangible, credible threat. And being a former police officer, again, there's already laws on the book. When, to Annie's point earlier, how do you define Islamophobia? How do you define hate? Because now, is speech hate? Is factual content hate? If we can cite, if I cite the Quran, this evil book, their book, is that now a hate crime because it's coming from me rather than from a Muslim? So this is the dystopian Orwellian moment that we are in, as I said last night, 1984 on steroids, that now we have them determining that. And folks, this has been in the works for years.
Oh, yeah.
This didn't just happen. Brandon, you and I were talking about this last night. They had this on the shelf. This is UN Agenda 1618 that Hillary Clinton was trying to pass as Secretary of State back in 2012. This is from the United Nations.
Here we go. Here it is right here. Here it is. United Nations General Assembly, April 12, 2011. Resolution adopted by the Human Rights Council combining intolerance, negative stereotyping, and stigmatization of and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. And who was really behind all this?
The Organization of Islamic Cooperation. You see it down a little bit further there. It was the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that is the major voting bloc in the United Nations that says, and I'll show you the text there if you want. It's in Section 5. If you go to Section 5 on that second page, it says there, notes the speech given by Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Conference right there. At the 15th session. So the Organization of Islamic Conference and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is the largest voting bloc in the United Nations. This has been in the works for years out of the UN to push for combating, quote, Islamophobia. Then you had the UN recognizing, Brandon, the International Day Against Islamophobia.
Here we go.
This March. Yeah, this March. Right there. This March, they celebrated their first day combating Islamophobia, not combating anti-Semitism, not combating Christian persecution, where the Christians are the worst persecuted group on the planet, and the worst perpetrators of Christians of Christian persecution are Muslims. That's just a fact. No, they're pushing this. And then finally, I sent you one more there. Look at the press release from the American Bar Association. This is what the American Bar Association put forth. Do you have that link there? There you go. Right there. CARE welcomes American Bar Association resolution condemning Islamophobia. They put this out that they want Congress to enact legislation that combats and eliminates, look at that, folks, combats and eliminates Islamophobia, such as H.R. House Resolution 5665. Can you go to is it the other one, the American? Is that the CARE one?
Yes.
Can you go to the other one that I sent you, which is actually from the text of the American Bar Association there, mm-hmm. just so people can see this. This is, again, been in the works for years. They've been at this. They've pushed it in policy, in the Department of Homeland Security, in the FBI. They gutted our national security. That's why we cannot deal with national security threats. And then the American Bar Association came out right there. There you go. If you can zoom that in, you'll see the text of what they adopted right there. So look at that. Federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments. They want the tribes to push forth this resolution that is based on House Resolution 5665. Brandon, remember you said last night it's been sitting on the shelf?
Yep.
It's been sitting on the shelf right there. House Resolution 5665, Senate Resolution 3384. And they want all attorney generals in the United States to also adopt this at the state level, where they would criminalize Islamophobia. They would So now you have the White House saying it's a national security threat. And you have the American Bar Association saying, we adopt this, working with CARE, the front group for the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas in America. Remember, CARE is Hamas in America. And then working at the state level, because they want to criminalize and be able to round us up. And I think this is their mechanism under the Patriot Act. Remember, again, if it's a national security threat, it's now under the Patriot Act, and all bets are off of what they can do to us.
Interesting matter. All right, we'll be right back with comments from Annie Cyrus, and then joining us live from Israel will be Aaron. And, I don't know why they're spending $1 billion building these camps. We've shown the drone footage. We've had reporters we've interviewed who've gone there, seen them with their own eyes. I don't know why they're building them. A lot of them are not even being used right now, but they're sure building them quickly. They've just called up 800. I can show you the article from military.com. 800 Army guys have been told to 6 days to go over to Kentucky to be trained to be recruiters. What is going on? We'll try to answer that. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we are constantly adding emergency supplies to our store, WVWTVstore.com. One that we recently added was emergency gas masks. These are military-grade, military-standard gas masks. We are receiving these from a contact of ours through Israel. These are Israeli-made gas masks. This is what families in Israel would use, folks. And they know about terrorist attacks, don't they? Now you say, why would I want to have a gas mask on hand with a carbon filter? Well, there are several reasons, I think. One, the threat of biological and nuclear attack. And we also know that we are seeing unprecedented, it sure seems like it, unprecedented numbers of train derailments. Let's not forget what happened in Ohio, where the air was absolutely contaminated. I live a few miles from a train track. Lots of trains coming through carrying chemicals. If there is a spill, if God forbid there's a derailment and a spill, well, if I want to get out of the area, I would certainly first want to don a military-style gas mask, would I not? And then seek safety far away. So again, this is something we've added to our website. And you know what? Within 24 hours, we sold over 40 of these, which tells me many of you understand the seriousness of the threat, and you also want to have some of these for your family. Again, you can see our inventory at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. We have other things there, emergency EMT bags, potassium iodine to protect your thyroid in the event of a nuclear event. Too much to name. It's there. You'll find it, WVWTVstore.com. Not just emergency supplies, but also freeze-dried food. You can also use our phone number, 901-468-9357, if you'd like to order through the phone. 901-468-9357. Or again, just visit the website, WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. went and looked up the word discrimination from the Cambridge Dictionary. Here's one of the definitions, and this is what I was referring to. The ability to judge the quality of something based on its differences from other similar things. Well, that's one. It said he showed discrimination in his reading habits. All right. We used to say, well, he has discriminating tastes. And that was a compliment. He chose the best. He chose what was good. Doesn't the Bible speak about this? Think upon that which is good. Think on these things. We've made discrimination a word that is negative as to imply racism. Well, reality is there's only one race, the human race. But we should not give equal treatment or equal respect to things which are unlawful, evil, derogatory to the good and lawful order of society. I mean, after all, what was the document in America that you had to show respect for to be a territory that became a state, right? You had to show deference to the Northwest Ordinance. Religion, morality, and knowledge being essential for good government. Religion, belief in God. Morality, a belief in absolute truth, that which is consistent with the character and nature of God, the moral law. Religion, morality, knowledge, acquisition of truth, that means there's a such thing as what is true, what is not true, being necessary for good government. What's government to do? Reward the righteous and punish the wicked. You have to discriminate between what is good and bad. The righteous versus the wicked. You do not give equal treatment to all ideas and beliefs. We've turned that word into always meaning you're somehow being racist. Well, that's what the communists do. They hijack the meaning of words. And here we are. Let's go back to Sharon before we go to to Annie. Let's go to Annie before we go to Aaron and Israel. Annie, what are your thoughts on what we've been saying before we go over to Israel?
Well, let me try to just add something to everything you and Sharon perfectly said. Islamophobia. Number one, phobia is not a crime. Number two, phobia is a rational fear. Islam has attacked the United States of America over and over and over and over. As of yesterday, Ray gave a testimony saying Islamic Republic of Iran has tried to kill American citizens and officials inside U.S. soil. So this is not irrational. Even if it's a fear, it's not irrational. Now, fast forward to the part where problem with Kamala Harris's speech. We're going to combat Islamophobia and we're going to combat anti-Semitism. Does she not realize 90% of anti-Semitism comes from Muslims in Muslim countries? Does she not understand everything that's going on is to bring the last day for Muslims where all Jews are dead, because even the stones that start talking and say, hey, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill it? This is important to understand. With Jews, there is not even an option of convert or kill. With Jews, is just kill. How are they going to combat Islamophobia? I'm using air quote, by the way, and anti-Semitism at the same time. And by the way, we go back to the point of if people don't realize, as you have perfectly established, you and Sharon, this didn't happen yesterday. They announced it yesterday, but this has been planned for a long time. We don't have much time until people like me, you, Sharon, Robert Spencer, Daniel Greenfield, Jamie Glazov, Usama, we're all going to be in prison, which is okay. I'm not afraid of that. I will never stop exposing Islam, but the point is, if we don't rush to a solution, it will be too late to reverse the damage.
Amen. So the question is, can they get this through Congress, or will they try to do it through some an executive order? Or Sharon, will they piecemeal this? Will they piecemeal this into different things and policies inside the government and start enacting it by fiat.
Go ahead, Annie. I forgot the name of the person who made this comment. Was a brilliant comment last night when you and Sharon were talking about this. Someone commented on the comment section of Frank's speech and said, don't forget, Obama had a phone and a pen. Phone and pen is in Biden's hand now.
Exactly. So I think to Brandon's question and to Annie's point, it's going to be all of the above, because number one, they can executive order anything they want. Number two, there is policy. So we have to understand that the executive branch puts policy forth with the Justice Department, with Homeland Security. We've already known this. So when Hillary ran and couldn't get this through in 2012, they began to implement those things within policy, and that's why Homeland Security, that's why the FBI and the Justice Department have the policies they do, where they're no longer able to profile, quote unquote, or quote, to your term, discriminate, to actually identify jihadis, to identify someone that is promoting jihad. We always find out after these attacks. Remember, like the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, where the FBI knew them, the FBI was aware of them, but they just couldn't do anything because they can't discriminate. They can't say anything negative about Islam. So they're going to do it that way. They're going to do it in executive order. I don't know if right now it will get through the House, but I also don't trust the Republicans. So, you know, depending on emotions, but I think right now, where is the focus on the anti-Semitism? So this is such deflection. This is such covering for those who this administration is beholden to. And let's not forget that Obama is a Muslim, and that, as Annie said, he did it. Biden is now going to do it. They're just carrying those policies, but they're taking it to another level. I don't think this will pass legislatively because I think it's unconstitutional. I mean, I think on its face it's unconstitutional. I think if it went to the courts, it would be struck down as unconstitutional, because you are now going to the point of it is criminalizing speech. However, they can do enough damage through executive order and through administrative policy to make you and I the criminal, and especially they have carte blanche access when it comes to what is deemed national security. That's, again, what really concerns me about all of this.
Absolutely. Let's go to Israel. Aaron, welcome. Thank you for joining us. What do you make of our conversation we're having in America tonight, today, as it's nighttime in Israel, that the VP is calling for Anti-Islamophobia Act? How does that make you feel, Aaron? By the way, this is why we kept telling Bibi, who I think is done politically. I think he's toast when this is all wrapped up. But, and by the way, why is his son in Miami? Why is his son reportedly in Miami partying on yachts and boats and cruises? Why is he not back there in Israel putting on a uniform? That's the question I'd like to ask, because that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing reports Bibi's son is on yachts partying in Miami. But I think BB is done politically when all is said and done. But how do you feel? And this is why I was kept telling and got angry 3 months ago on air that BB needed to stop worrying about America and what America thinks and do what's best for America. Because America now, in the midst of the largest slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust, they're worried about the feelings of the terrorists and the jihadis. So good luck, Israel. When it comes to the support of America, you'll probably get some planes and other things. And whatever they do for Israel, make no mistake, folks, will only be done to hurt America. Whatever they do for Israel will not be because of their love for Israel. It'll be done in order to set up America to be more attacked by the same people that hate Israel. So don't think for 1 minute that these people in this White House and DHS and Department of Defense care about Israel. They don't. They are using the defense of Israel to set up America for the same attacks by the same people. These people hate the Jews. They always have, most of them. And I don't care if they're Jewish. They're self-hating Jews, some of them. So how do you feel tonight knowing, Aaron, the people that are supposed to have your back are more concerned about hurting the feelings of the jihadis who are baking your Jewish children in ovens alive?
Well, Brennan, I think if we are going to be speaking out against evil and wickedness as much as we can, we need to be wise. We need to speak out against the evil that people are doing, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a LGBT, whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Christian. as much as we can, we need to differentiate between the love for the people and the wicked things that they are doing. But at the end of the day, even when we speak out and we do differentiate, if these people have got it in for us for speaking out, then they've got it in for us. And what came to me as you were speaking, during the Holocaust, most of, if you remember, most of us Jews, what did we do? We sat back and we kept our mouths shut. We didn't speak out against the Nazis. We didn't stand up for ourselves. And what did we do? We ended up going into the concentration camps, or as Annie was referring to, her concerns or the probability of being sent to prison. I think we need to stand up. We need to be like the Maccabees. The Maccabees who lived in the first and second century BC, they were not afraid to stand up and speak against the evil of the Greeks, and they paid a price, but they defeated the Greeks. So we cannot sit back idly and let this evil prevail. Yes, again, be wise in differentiating between the people and their acts, but at the end of the day, sometimes you can't differentiate between both of them.
Where are you standing tonight?
Well, right now I'm in the what's called the Dan region, which is the central region. I'm in Tel Aviv. I'm right in the heart of Tel Aviv. And I'm actually in a very, very emotional place here. I'm in a center. It's a square here. I'm going to show you around a little bit.
Please.
Because the reason I chose this square is this square here. Firstly, you've got here signs with the Israeli flag. And it says in Hebrew, it says Chazakim Biyachad, which means together we need to be strong. Together. Number one. Number two, as I go over to the center of the square, up on over in this direction, we have 242 empty beds. And in fact, some of them you can see are lit up, and they are all, some of them are cots for babies. Some of them have little teddy bears and little children's books.
So this is memorial to the people that have been killed or kidnapped? Which is it?
Let me explain. Tel Aviv is the Israeli cultural, artistic, social kind of capital of Israel. And so in a art performing way, they have set up here 242. It's just a reminder, a memorial of the people that, in fact, look up here. Can you see up on the building there?
Yes, yes.
You've got there. Hang on. Let me get it focused there rightly. Where am I? Why is that not? There we go. No, I had it and then I got lost again. Wait. Why is that? There we go. You've got 26 days. You've got 12 hours. You've got 37 minutes and you've got 18 seconds and counting since the time all of these 240 people were kidnapped. And here are some of their beds. Look, there's an old person's
walker. It's their walker.
And there is a little pram of a little baby to remind us of all the babies and elderly that are still in
captivity. And for those listening by radio, it's cots, it's baby cribs, it's a walker for like an old person would use, a senior citizen would use for a walker for assistance. And it's set up to remember those who have been kidnapped. Wow. All right, we'll be back with more. Brandon House, Worldview Radio. Don't go away.
There is so much going on in the world of finances, not to mention every other area of influence in our world today. But there's so much going on in the area of finances with central bank digital currencies, inflation moving to hyperinflation, a global currency that's coming, the mark of the beast technology that's ever expanding, bank failures, liquidity crisis with our banks, and so much more. It's so important to understand the times and to wisely make decisions for your family that we've decided to start and launch a new financial news channel. We've been working on this for several months with our friends at Swiss America, and it's taken me about 8 months to put it all together, and we finally have launched it. It's called SwissAmericaTV.com, SwissAmericaTV.com. You will find all kinds of free radio shows, TV shows, and articles there for free to help you try to understand the financial landscape and know how your family should respond. Again, that new financial 24/7 network with programming on demand is SwissAmericaTV.com. SwissAmericaTV.com. Please tell your family and friends about it. Put it out there. Let folks know about Swiss America TV. The programs are on demand. They're free of charge. They're cutting edge. And there's also articles. I'm endeavoring to put out two or three articles a week, and you'll find just on finances. And you'll find them over there at SwissAmericaTV.com. SwissAmericaTV.com. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Aaron joins us again live from Israel in Tel Aviv. Showing us and explaining to us, whether you're watching online or listening by radio, I think we all kind of get the idea. It's empty beds, cribs, empty cribs, walkers, reminding people that these were individuals who were kidnapped, many of them right out of their beds, right out of their cribs. Aaron, we're hearing that Israel might be approaching a massive attack, that you guys might have a massive attack coming to you from Iran in the coming hours or days. What are you guys hearing?
We are bracing ourselves, Brennan. Not so much Iran, but from Lebanon, South Lebanon. Although the Iranians are pressing all the buttons, the Lebanese Hezbollah, they are the ones who are pulling the trigger.
And that's why I said Iran, because that's where a lot of this is coming from. And by the way, We also have a lot of Russian weaponry that some of my Jewish friends are telling me about, that was used even on that October 7th.
Absolutely, yes. And can I just say, it's such a blessing being in the studio with Sharam and with Ani, Iranians. Here we are on the verge of Israel. I'm an Israeli, and they are Iranians, and it's so nice to know that there are some good, decent Iranians and good, decent Israelis out there that truly want peace, but it does not look like peace at the moment. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Israel time, the leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, he will be going live and giving a speech. And this is what we're all waiting for.
So are you concerned that he's going to call for massive war attack, alert terror cells, what?
Yeah, we are very, very concerned about that. And if he does, I've mentioned this a few times, they have approximately 200,000 massive surface-to-air missiles, precision-guided missiles. And they are right on our border. We've cleared out 125,000 people from our northern border. We are bracing ourselves, the American soldiers and aircraft carriers and on-the-ground people. They are getting ready. And let me tell you this. As we're talking, our ground troops in Gaza, where we've gone in, at least 20,000 of our soldiers are in the Gaza Strip now. We are now taking over the northern part of the Gaza Strip. We are now surrounding the Sheba Hospital, where it's believed that, and we have proof that Hamas headquarters are underneath that hospital. We now have it under siege. Now it's the war of attrition. We're waiting to see what happens. Are they going to run out of ammunition? Are they going to run out of fuel, out of supplies? What's going to happen? Some of them have tried to come out and attack us, and there's been battle. We've lost about 18 of our boys. So the battle's on. Now, while this is happening, Nasrallah from Hezbollah, he needs to make a big decision, because if he lets Hamas go, then the Iranian proxies in the south and in Gaza, it's going to be lost. They're going to lose that stronghold. So he needs to make a decision. Are they going to come and fight for their Hamas brothers, or are they going to let it go and think up a different strategy for the future?
Wow.
Big decision.
Look at this headline.
He's going to make, now, if,
here's the Iran International. Iran's IRGC urges, quote, jihad, end quote, amid Gaza war. Okay, that was just 7 hours ago, so I kind of think we know where things are going. Iran has tried to kill American officials on U.S. soil, says FBI. By the way, I was up till early this morning doing research, going back to 2015. Iran has been hacking on America's power grid for years and is threatening to put down our power grid, folks. So we often talk about China and Russia, but we have Iran that's been doing it. I have all the articles. We don't have time to get to them. I do have to mention this quickly, Aaron, Annie, and Sharam. We do have now today a report. I have it over at worldviewreport.com, if I can find it. Here it is. The Army suddenly and chaotically told hundreds of soldiers they have to be recruiters immediately. They've been given 6 days to report to Fort Knox, Kentucky, in order to start their training, a force of about 800 of them. Quickly, I don't know if this means, again, my fear that I've been warning about since February of 2018, a draft is coming, but I will tell you, I believe, biblically speaking, kidnapping is a capital offense. Biblically speaking, kidnapping is a capital offense, and I believe that a draft is kidnapping. It's inscription. It's unconstitutional. You know, we often think about that from the 60s and people being draft dodgers, but this is a different day. It's a different time. It's a different army. It's a different military. It's a different government, and they would love nothing more than to round up the conservative Christian kids and have them slaughtered and put through the meat grinder. This military, even guys who went and served and recruited a lot of people, are telling their own children and grandchildren, do not join this military. This is now changed. Sharam?
I agree 100%, Brandon. It is certainly unconstitutional, and I agree, immoral for Christians to support this government, this administration, and them imposing a draft to fight against our conscience, to fight against our morals. Absolutely, I agree with you. It should be resisted. It should be resisted by every Christian, by whatever.
And maybe that's the goal. Maybe that's the goal, another spot of conflict.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go after the Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, libertarians as draft dodgers, criminalize them and their children. That's what we got the camps for. I don't know. Why are they building these camps? Because a lot of them are sitting empty. I mean, you got all these homeless people and all these immigrants, you know, laying on the street in different places, overcrowding hotels. Why are they not using these camps? Because maybe that's not what they're for. Or maybe they'll use them for that for a while. I don't know. But it sounds like to me they're setting up to criminalize a lot of Americans. Annie?
Yes, I would agree with everything we've been warning. It's coming to being real. But if you don't mind, I know we're coming to closing. I just want to mention one of the reasons that we're expecting a heavy attack on Israel. I just found the article I was looking for tomorrow, Friday at 9 a.m. Central Time, American Time. Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is going to give his very first speech since October 7th. And he has mentioned that on that speech, he is going to tell his soldiers what is to be done. So the head of Hezbollah is giving a speech 9 a.m. Central Time for the first time since October 7th to tell the Hezbollah army what they're doing.
And here's another headline Annie just sent us. The deputy of the Chinese Army headquarters, Iran's armed forces are an important part of the Chinese army. That's 52 minutes ago. So anyone that thinks that Iran and China and Russia are not linked together, that they're not creating these problems to spread us all over the world and then attack us, I don't know how to connect the dots anymore. I agree with my friend Todd Benzman last night. He said, if you're a Jew, you better arm yourself because the times have changed and we don't have to be sitting ducks like we were in the Holocaust. Every constitutionalist should practice their Second Amendment right. Sharam Haidian, Aaron, and Annie, all with us today. We thank all of them. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Not too long ago, we received 3,000 bottles of potassium iodine. This is to protect your thyroid in the event of a nuclear event. We had one distributor we wanted to purchase it from and offer to our audience, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't sell it to you because we cannot keep it in stock. Therefore, we can't sell it to you because, you know, you'll get upset with us because you'll need it to fill the orders you have and we won't be able to send it to you, and that creates a PR problem for all of us. So, sorry, we can't keep it in stock. Well, that led us to search, and we were able to finally secure brand new 3,000 bottles of potassium iodine. And by the way, these are selling fast. Well, no wonder. The government recently, according to many reports, has ordered up $290 million in anti-radiation medication. What are they planning? We know the FBI and the military held a week-long nuclear strike event in Houston, Texas. in New York, they've been running PSAs for what happens if there's a nuclear attack. What is this all about? I have no idea what they're planning, folks, but I do know that among my family's emergency supplies is potassium iodine. You'll find it in supply at our store online at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can also call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357, or just visit WVWTVstore.com.